The scripture reading from today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Please follow along in your Bibles or on the screen. Hear now the word of God. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
Good morning, New Mercy. Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us this Sunday morning as we worship our God together. Whether you're a member of New Mercy or just happen to stop by one of our worship platforms, we extend a warm welcome from our Lord Jesus Christ. We're so glad that you are with us today. There's a lot going on in our nation. It's just heartbreaking to witness some of these video footages and what people are going through. We join fully standing with our African-American brothers and sisters, different minority groups, we seek God. We seek God's face. We seek God's justice, God's mercy, God's healing over our nation. So we pray also that may the Lord expand our hearts, expand our minds, that, if we are at one place, may he help us to advance to the next place, to grow in this area. So that's our prayer for our community. I know there's still a lot more to come. And also tangibly for our community in Hackensack, we're working with different ministries and different leaders to see how we can expand our presence for our community. So please do join us and pray with us. Today we are starting a new sermon series, and we'll be studying the Epistle of Philippians, the letter to the church in Philippi that Paul wrote. This is a very short letter, only four chapters, and I think it's 2,000 words. Someone says 2,000 words and 400 verses. I didn't count, one of the commentators. So very short letter, very compacted letter, but also one of the most encouraging letters that Paul ever wrote. If you read the letter, it is very clear that Paul had a very special affection towards the church in Philippi. It was around 48 AD. Paul was on his early missionary journeys, heading into Europe for the first time. And he went into the city of Philippi, this Macedonia. This is today's Turkey, northern Turkey. So this was the first time Paul was heading into Europe, led by the Spirit. The story is told in Acts chapter 16. And he basically meets a group of women doing a Bible study. These are God-fearing women. They didn't know Jesus, but they're God-fearers, and they're studying about God. Then Paul comes in, and he preaches the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And Lydia gets converted. Then Paul gets imprisoned, and the prison guard gets saved. Some of you guys know the story. Then the church gives birth. And Paul had a very special love and affection towards his church. And for the next 10 years, they had a very sincere, just loving relationship. And this is about 10 years later now. Paul is imprisoned in Rome, and he's writing this letter. So for the next 5 weeks, we'll be studying through different concepts, different themes, different topics in this letter, and hope that the Lord will really speak to you, speak to us, and encourage us and strengthen us, his church, today. So before I start, though, I wanted to give a little intro on studying the Bible. So we have a whiteboard here. I want to utilize a whiteboard. Some of you guys know I have terrible, terrible handwriting. So I've been practicing. So hopefully this doesn't go that bad. I was thinking about why is it so important for us to study epistles and you know, study the Bible overall. And three things came to mind and really convicted me. So the first one, why is it so important for us to study the Word of God, is because the Word of God is our it's our revelation. It's a revelation. Only specific written revelation we have is the Bible. That's it, right? Nothing else. 66 books, inspired, God-breathed Word of God. And revelation, which means God reveals himself. So this is important because this is how we know God. Okay? So all the details of God. You know, Romans talks about how, yeah, it is possible for just like looking at creation and nature for us to know that God exists. It is possible. And we hear a lot of stories like this where, you know, people groups that don't have the Bible, they still sense that there is a God. God-fearers are born. But it's impossible for us to know the detailed, specific story of God, the story of historical redemptive story of God without the scriptures. It's impossible. There's no way for us to know that Jesus came and bled on the cross and died for our sins and resurrected in 3 days and virgin birth and sold by Pontius Pilate. Like, those details are where? It's only in scripture. So it's a revelation. It's a specific revelation that we have. And it's very important because through the revelation, we know the details of who God is. Right, it's really edifying in terms of gaining an understanding of God. So this is very important, number one. Second point, why is it so important for us? Because at the end of the day, Bible, the Word of God was given for us, given to us, right? So it is good for us. Okay, it is good for us, meaning it is beneficial. It is beneficial for us. Often, you know, I meet people, Christians, oh, it's so hard to read the Word. I don't know why we have to read the Word. You know, I mean, people like that. Or some people say, you know, when we go to heaven, is it going to be a huge Bible quiz? Like God's going to ask us, how many times did you read the Word? No. The point of Scripture, one of the major points is what? The Lord has given us almost like a roadmap, a life map that can bring clarity and direction. Scripture says the word of word of God is like the lamp to my feet. It gives us clarity, direction, a pathway, right? And ultimately, when we obey it, when we have the Word gets planted in our hearts, it's good for us. It helps us. It's not for God that we read the Word and God is happy. No, we read the Word and it edifies us. That this is how we grow by the Word of God. Without Scripture, you know, we become very shallow. So true. We become very shallow. So this is the second, I think, important point why it's important. And the third point is the Word of God is important because this is how we love God. When we begin to grow in the knowledge of God and we begin to obey the truth of the Scriptures, this is one way how we can really love the Lord, tangibly love God. Scripture says that, you know, those who love me will obey me. All right. Jesus says, you know, obey me. And obedience is not like a slave and a master kind of relationship. But it's once again, because it is good for us as we are edified in the Word of God. Also, as we begin to grow and taste and see how good God is, this is one way how we grow in loving our God. Loving our God. So this is just quick three things, three ways I think it's why the Word of God is very important for us. And I'm just going to move this way now. And today, as we study the Philippians, I hope that the Lord will really give us revelation and give us edifying spirit, truth, and also how through the Word that we can grow to love God. So today, very quickly, we're going to just look at one verse today, and the verse is verse 6. I'm going to read for us one more time. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of amazing verses and truths in the book of Philippians. You know, once again, Paul loved the church. There are a lot of things we could learn, but we could see from the heart of Paul that what he really wanted to do for this church was to encourage them, is to really strengthen them, to remind them, you know, hey, God loves you. God had started something and he's going to come and finish. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the season and just the way, you know, how we are doing these days. But this verse really stuck with me. And this was one verse that really convicted me as I was looking through the whole chapter, chapter one. And today I want to share this. I want to really just proclaim this verse to you, to our community. We are confident. I am confident. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. God has started a new work, a beautiful, powerful work in all of you, all of us. And we can have confidence that one day he will finish that work. God finishes what he starts. God, he finishes what he starts. Okay? So three things today, three things from this verse. Number one, we need to be absolutely convinced that the Lord is working in us. I'm so sorry, my handwriting is terrible, so I don't know if this is even working. But the Lord is working in us. There are many times because of our circumstances or the seasons that we're in, we have a hard time believing that God can even use us. It's, you know, someone like me, do you know my brokenness? Do you know my story? But today Paul is testifying once again, no, if you are in Jesus Christ, the gospel is just so powerful, so restorative that he can take anyone, and God is indeed working, and he has started a work in your life, that there is something, there is purpose, there is direction. And you know, for the church of Philippi, I think this was, you know, it was a Gentile church. It was a healthy church, but it was also still a messy church. I mean, talk about race issues. There are a lot of different ethnicities, different types of people coming into this church, a young church at this time. And you could imagine there are a lot of issues. But to this church, Paul is testifying, you know, in the gospel, God has a plan. The gospel is not just you come in and you're saved, you go to heaven. But the gospel is that once it comes in, that it bears a new work, that he starts something and he has a new vision over your life. So that's the first one. Number two is that this work that God does is a good work. It's a good work. The word good here Paul uses is biblically, not many times we see the word good in the epistles. Remember in the Gospels, when someone comes and calls Jesus good, Jesus says, why do you call me good? Only God is good. It's the same phrase. But Paul here uses it intentionally, putting in not just God didn't start a work in your life, but a good work in your life. Meaning God favors you. That God has something really good for you. God intentions of God in your life is good. It is a good work that he has started and he will finish. Now, do you believe that? And I know that sometimes this is not easy. It's hard to believe that there is something good in us. And if God really favors me, specifically a particular person, human being, yes. And that is the truth of God. You know, when I think about my life, I don't know, just in light of this whole race thing, racial tensions, and you know, growing up as a minority, of course, we cannot identify. It's not definitely the same narrative or story as many of our African Americans or even Hispanics, or every race, every ethnic group has different stories. But for me, particularly growing up as Asian American, Korean American, you know, I came to the States. I was born in Korea, but came to the States in the late 70s. You know, I'm pretty old, getting old. So my father had a job back then in San Francisco. So we lived in the suburbs of San Francisco in 1978, came to America for the first time. I was like 5 years old, didn't know any English. My mom was so scared. I still remember she had a lot of fear. Just me and my sister, my dad would constantly go out and work. We didn't know any English. Being about 5-6 years old, my parents used to drop me off at the kindergarten there, and it was just completely Caucasian, white neighborhood. Every person blonde, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes. And I still remember. And these kids, the families never seen an Asian before. So they'll come and they'll like poke me, they'll touch me. And I still remember one incident that it was during lunchtime. And, you know, we had those tin lunch cans like Superman and stuff. And my mom would pack us lunch. And I didn't know how to speak English. So I would just sit around lunchtime eating by myself often. But this time some kids came and start bullying me and they put sand in my lunchbox. And just I couldn't eat lunch. So I just closed the lunch, sat there the whole day, then came home. And my mom opened the lunchbox and saw all the sand in my lunchbox. And I still remember she started weeping. And it was like that for a while. Life was like that. It was tough. Went to Korea, coming back again, second time. Came, immigrated fully, 1986, you know, Pal Park area. But back then, even Pal Park area was mostly Italian Americans. This was before the whole Asian boom. And I remember even seventh grade, eighth grade getting bullied by these huge, you know, these Italian kids. It was very tough. And a lot of times you question, you know, some of you guys I know dealt with racism and difficult moments. And it was hard for me to see truly, really, is there good work that God is doing? Does God really favor me? Is there a plan over my life? And just looking back, what now, 25-something years, cannot believe how much the Lord has been faithful. And that's what the gospel does. When he says he's doing a good work, you know what that also means? It means all the parts of your narrative, your story of brokenness and wounds and hurts, he is, and he will also redeem. He is redeeming, and he's going to heal, and he's gonna bring it to a place where the good works of God will come out. Amen? I mean, that's the power of the gospel. The gospel is not just something just being saved and go to heaven, but the redemption, the redeeming part of your story that's part of the gospel narrative. The gospel comes in and he will redeem. He started a good work, and this good work will bear fruit one day. The third point today, and we're just going to end it with this, is that, yes, he will finish. Yes, he will finish. Paul says, I am sure of this. He who began a good work in you, you will complete it. He will finish it in the day of Jesus Christ. Meaning, if you really believe and have certainty, have faith that, yeah, there is a work that God is doing. There is a good work God is doing in my life. Then that means also we need to believe that one day, no matter how difficult the circumstances and the situation is right now, one day this work will be done. There's going to come a day that God is going to complete. So meaning we are in process. We are progressing. And there is real growth. And there is, you know, stepping forward that is happening. It's hard to see at times. Very hard. It feels like we're going backwards. We feel stuck. But if we were to have spiritual eyes and have faith in this truth, you know, Paul uses the word, I am sure. Other translation says, I am confident. He's absolutely placing this confidence in whom? In him? No, in Jesus Christ. We place our confidence in God that he will finish. You know, God always finishes what he starts. You know, Hebrews says what? Jesus Christ is the author and the perfecter of our faith. It is in him, it is through him that he completes and he finishes what he starts. You know, as I was meditating on this verse and thinking about our also nation, our country, it's sometimes, I think, difficult to see really how much progress that, you know, has taken place. And I know there's also a lot of people who are angry, but I pray that as we look at our situation through the eyes of faith, eyes of God, eyes of, you know, the gospel, there has been definitely been progress. And I believe that. You know, once again, growing up in the 70s and compared to what took place, how it used to be, and even now. Of course, is it, you know, are we there yet? No, definitely not. You know, we still cannot believe that people are dying because of their color. Unacceptable, no question, and a lot more has to be done. But still, definitely there is progress. You know, God is doing, God is healing. And as people of God, one thing that we cannot lose is we need to still fix and anchor ourselves upon the good work of Jesus Christ, that we absolutely trust that God loves this nation, that he has a plan for our nation. There's roles that people need to play, but he will finish. Amen. He will finish. And therefore, we need to continue to contend and pray and walk together. So may that be our prayer. For those who are wanting in difficult, challenging seasons, we ask that the Lord would encourage you, even through this verse, through this truth. But have confidence. You know, he who began a good work in you, he does not neglect. He does not just let go and ditch, but he will complete all that he has done. As we end today, we have something very special planned for us today. Our very own Ilmar and Sajin's family, they have a very special musical performance for us. Ilmar, I think, wanted to really share with our community to bring some healing in light of what is happening in our nation. So they're utilizing their gift that God has given them, musical talents, and to really serve us. So we just want to thank you for that. So along with this, before we get into the performance, can we just take some time to pray together for our nation? And also, as we receive and as we listen to the music, if we could prayerfully do that, may the Lord bring some healing and deeper conviction. We could pray for our country together. So can we just bow our heads right now? If we could just spend a minute or two, we'll pray together for our nation. Father, we thank you. Lord, we lift up our country, our nation. Father, we come before you. Can we just spend some time praying for just the heart of God over our nation? And, you know, with especially for our African-American brothers and sisters, different pockets of our nation where they're facing a lot of oppression, injustice being done. Let's ask the heart of God, the presence of God. God, we need you. We need your healing, tangible ways, Father, to move and to heal and to, Father, bring forth these issues of justice. So can we just spend a moment praying for our country together? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We ask for your hand, your mercy over us, Father, that you'll bring, Lord, just more of your presence. And, Father, that show us your heart. Father, break our hearts, God. Shatter our hearts, Jesus, that you'll give us boldness and courage, Lord, and wisdom and discernment, Father. And Lord, direct us. Give us clarity, Lord. We pray for our nation that you love, Father, the nation, Jesus, that you have found. So you will really finish what you have started here. Father, we believe that there is still call and good works, Father, for our nation. So we pray, we lift up different communities, Father. We lift up those who are in the struggle, those who are really fighting, Father, for justice and mercy. Father, we pray that we can really walk humbly with you, even seasons like this, Father. We pray. We ask you, Jesus. Can we just spend a moment praying for just overall healing of our nation? I know that there's a lot of tension. People are still angry and upset, and there are a lot of different voices, and almost the nation is kind of split into two. But let's really contend. Let's really ask the Lord, Lord, heal our land. Heal our land, Father. Heal our nation. Father, without you, it's impossible. It's impossible, Father, but you will come. Will you bring healing, a restoration, Father, a new, real restoration over our land? Can we just contend praying for healing of our land, our country? Father, we pray. You said to pray. You said to repent, Father, before you, and you will come and touch and heal our land. Father, we ask you. We open ourselves up to you, Jesus. We pray, Father, for your healing touch. Father, just restore your touch over our land, Father. Heal our hearts, God. all the wounds of pain, Father, all the wounds of just racial tension and injustice, Father. There's just so much pain, so many stories, God. And we ask you that you one by one really begin a process of just overall healing of our nation. Father, we ask you, we continue to grieve, Father. We continue to, Father, just to have different ways of expressing, Father. But we ask ultimately, Lord, that your peace will rule over this country, our nation, Jesus. Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving our country, loving our people, loving our nation, Jesus. Lord, we pray for just a heart that really breaks over our land, our brothers and sisters, different communities, Father, who are suffering. And we ask, Father, that that you give us boldness, you give us courage to step in, to expand, Father, our hearts, our minds. So, Lord, be with us. We thank you so much for Ilmar and Sajin and Leia and Ian, this beautiful family, as they perform for us, as they give us this special gift. Father, just we pray that you do a healing work in our hearts and a work of peace in our hearts, Lord. So we thank you again for today. And all things in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.